I want to jump right into things. Rob, I failed to, like I was going to do, print off your official biography so I could tell all the juicy details of where you spent time in learning to study your trade. But why don't you fill us in? You are a wellness consultant, and previous occupation prior to that was a, and still is, actually, a veterinarian. So, first of all, welcome to the call.
Thank you, Vance.
And tell us what led you into the field of, could I say playing with animals, working on animals, treating animals, what the whole animal husbandry, what led you down that field?
Well, thanks for having me on the call, first off, Vance, and thanks to everyone else who's gotten up early to be on it, especially those of you who share the Pacific time zone with Vance and I. The sun's just cresting the mountains over here, and I know Vance was out skiing yesterday, and we're out heading out for a bit of a big mountain bike ride today, so get outside. I know the NCAA is on and basketball and stuff, but still get your butt outside. I also like the fact that Vance said spent time. It sounded like a prison sentence. Yeah, it was a long time in school. I went to university for 12 and a half years, and the thing that got me interested in animals in the first place is my eldest sister. I'm from the youngest of six kids, and my eldest sister married a dairy farmer when I was 6 years old. So I went from an urban city kid to a country milk and cow kind of a kid when I was six. And the guy on the farm with the coolest job was a vet. So he made a...
Well, that was fun. I think we lost our connection, maybe. Well, that was a wonderful intro. I think the next key word would have been made a great impact on me, but let me go see if we can get Rob back with us, because I believe phone just died. Hang on 1 second, folks. Okay, let's take it again. Take two, Rob. I think the last word we were about to hear was how this gentleman made a great, or person, the veterinarian made a great impact on you.
Well, he did, and I was just a little kid, and this guy seemed bigger than life to me. And his whole job was, helping animals to survive and have better quality of life, and as a rollout of that, helping those families to have better lives. I mean, all that was sort of not consciously obvious to me, but subconsciously I just knew that this man was making a positive impact. So I went through university looking for what else I wanted to do, and there was nothing else came up for me. So I applied and got into veterinary school, and after I graduated, I practiced for a few years and then decided I wanted to become a specialist. So I went back to school for another 4 years and did an internship and residency, and now I'm board certified in internal medicine and companion animal medicine. And so I still practice cardiology and internal medicine for dogs and cats in Victoria, British Columbia.
Now, when you say cardiology and internal medicine, I mean, again, in my email I sent out this week, it's hard enough when you don't speak somebody's language, but when your patient doesn't speak at all. How does one study cardiology and internal medicine on a patient that can't communicate, hey, you know, doc, it hurts here, or this is what's going on?
I actually think that I have an easier job because my patients don't lie to me. They're straight up. And the vast majority of it is good diagnostic skills and history taking. And, you know, I think for tongue-in-cheek, though, it forces me to spend more time putting together pieces of puzzle, getting the history, obviously not from the patient, but from the owners. And so I have to ask a lot of questions and listen intently to kind of put that pattern together. And then spend more time physically with the patient to kind of figure that out. And those skills, and I, if there are any physician colleagues on the phone, I think those are skills that are being lost in human medicine, and we're relying too much on technology and quick fixes. But those skills also have served me very well in my Nikan business, because those are exactly the things that I believe we need to do to be successful wellness consultants as well. Really take a keen interest in listen, ask a lot of questions and listen to what people are actually saying, and spending time with people and their families to get to the bottom of their problem and help them to solve that problem.
So the leading with the need, basically, and that's exactly where my next question was going to be. Where did the need arise for you to even look at something as an additional? Because it sounds like you're really enjoying the specialty of cardiology and internal medicine. How did Nikan? Where did that door open up?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was, like most people, I was using all 24 of my hours a day already. And for me, I at the time that Nikan came along, I was running three practices, one in Washington State and two in British Columbia. I was lecturing fairly extensively in vet medicine, and at that particular time, I was just about to go to England to deliver a 15-hour lecture series over there, and I was writing four chapters for a textbook. So I had lots going on.
Lots of spare time, in other words.
It's exactly right. So I wasn't really looking for something to fill my dull days, but I had a family member who had a product need. I mean, we didn't actually know that she had a product need. We just knew that she had a problem that Western medicine was failing to identify or help her with. And we had gone to what we considered to be the best of the best in the area that we lived in for this low back issue that she had, and we're getting nowhere. And after 11 months of this sort of agonal career-ending kind of a thing, a colleague of mine in vet medicine offered us to look at what he called avant-garde technologies from Japan. Now, for those of you who don't speak Canadian, that means really bringing weird stuff from Japan, because I was expecting machines and lights and, you know, cool-looking electronics, and he sent me a back flex. And when we opened the box, I thought for sure it was a joke. I thought it was a mud flap off of a car. And he assured me that it was very high-tech magnetic technology. Anyway, we were open-minded enough to give it a go, and she had one of those, oh my God, life-changing kind of product experiences, which sort of blew my doors off, because I had a paradigm set of beliefs that of what healthcare was, and it certainly didn't look like that. Mm-hmm. And it opened my mind in advance. I can actually remember the sound of my mind opening up, going, how the heck did that just do that? I mean, I can't deny that there was a positive response there. I just didn't know how that worked. And you know, anything else that I've done in my career, when something comes up like that, I delve into it to find out why. That's what I do, mm-hmm. And that's what I did. And
now I find it interesting, because a lot of people, regardless of the industry we're part of, whether we're a chiropractor or a dentist or a plumber or you name it, a lot of people in their course of study, as far as advanced learning, continuing education, we come across things like Nikan. We come across magnetic technologies, and you had never even heard of it, ever seen it, anything?
Do you know, interestingly enough, yes, I had. Long, long time ago, when I was still a veterinary student, I got hooked up with a horse doctor, a horse veterinarian, who was using two modalities which were considered crazy back then. This was in the early 80s, and it was magnets and acupuncture. And this guy was having phenomenal success with it. And in fact, back in those days, in Canada at least, acupuncture was not considered a healthcare modality, so you could do it on anybody. So he had actually more human clients than horse clients, and he had miraculous results with my own brother-in-law. Hmm. He put acupuncture needles in his earlobe and then taped little tiny magnets to it afterwards, and it helped my brother-in-law with a severe low back problem. And it never occurred to me some 20 or 25 years later to think about that again in a way to help someone else with their back problem. I thought it was a one-off, weird kind of a thing, but it didn't stick with me because it was too outside of my belief system.
Okay.
But after Nikan came along, I was reminded of how powerful that was for people back then.
Now, and this family member, obviously close enough to you that you realized, okay, wait a second, I have to take a closer look.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And so my quote-unquote product experience came through vicariously through someone else, but someone for whom I was, you're right, I was close enough that I could see how much agony she had been in and how much relief she was gaining.
Mm-hmm. And
you know, and it's more than just relief. The thing that I saw for the first time in a year was hope.
Mm-hmm.
And when someone doesn't have hope, nothing matters. Nothing is going to work. But when you give someone hope, now the spiral starts going the other way. Things start spiraling up. And every little thing started to get a little bit better rather than a little bit worse. And that, to me, was the most impactful thing, was that it gave this person some hope.
And of course, in the years that you've been aligned with the company, you've seen this happen numerous times, both through your own hands in introducing people, but through the people that you've introduced and the people they've introduced and so on and so forth. What was the, if I could ask, what was the next step for you? Okay, so your family member has this profound product experience, and you say it brought hope, which, you know, opens up a whole new direction. What was the next step for you in your due diligence to say, hey, I want to see if this thing is legit?
Well, so me, in my family, we got what would be the equivalent of a wellness home. This was 13 years ago, long before we had all of the components of the current wellness home. But we, you know, got pretty much everything that Nikan had back then because we were just so impressed with their technology and how impactful it was. So I was attending product seminars to learn all that I could about the product. And by osmosis, I started to find out that I really liked the people that were hanging out at these things. And who have now become very dear friends of mine, Jack and Karen Ensign, were at the time gold level wellness consultants. And they were the biggest hotshot pin in our little area in Washington State. And I know that you know Jack and Karen well. They're now currently they're Royal Diamonds. But back then, they were full-time realtors and were making a killing in real estate commissions. Between the two of them, they were making about $500,000 in annual real estate commissions. And I couldn't, for the life of me, understand why someone would walk away from such a lucrative career that takes a lifetime of building that kind of a client base and reputation and whatnot to get to that level. Why they would walk away from that to, you know, to sell magnetic mattresses for a Japanese network marketing company. It didn't compute to me. And so I took them out for lunch and said, what's the deal with this? And they told me about their balanced life that they were heading towards, that they were so out of balance in real estate that they were constantly on call and on pagers and doing open houses every weekend. And they had no time to spend the money in their mattress. And yet with Nikan, they were able to create not only a lucrative lifestyle, but a lifestyle, a balance, and the whole, they were living or working toward living the whole five pillars. And that's exactly what they do now. They've more than eclipsed their income, their best year in real estate as Nikan Royal Diamonds. But what they've got now is balance. I mean, any 9 times out of 10, if you give Jack and Karen a call, they're walking on a beach somewhere.
Yep.
And
I can't tell you, you're absolutely 100% correct. I cannot tell you how many times I've called them to ask them a question or to follow up with something, and they got their call for their phone forwarded to the cell, and they are who knows where. But that, you're exactly right. That's something that the five pillars offers, this core philosophy of the company, that you're not going to find that in the real estate industry.
Well, and in any industry, and I wasn't finding it in mine. And you're absolutely right. I loved doing what I'm doing as a veterinarian. I just didn't love doing it 7 days a week. It was, you know, they were starting to become, I spent so long in school and so long getting all of my credentials that there were starting to become other things in life I wanted to experience, and I wasn't able to break away from what I created. And my profession is very demanding on one's time. And when I was younger, it was kind of cool to be the rock star, you know, to be the person that everybody wanted to see. But when you start to want to do other things in life, you can't. I created a monster, and now I had to feed it.
Mm-hmm.
And as a specialist, people don't come to my clinic; they come to me.
Mm.
And you know, you can't take a night off. There's no understudy.
Yeah.
And so this was very attractive to me to learn about balance. That was not anything that I was anywhere near close to having when I was in my mid-30s.
Now tell me about in that quest, in that search of you know, just like in any industry, again, the continuing education, was there a single moment of in that journey of seeing what this thing called Nikan was all about, or was it a kind of a, was there one thing, because you talk about the family member seeing hope for the first time, you know, more than just relief, but for your own sake, in your own educational quest, was there a moment or a series of moments that really, I mean, I understand what you're saying about Jack and Karen, because when you see something in somebody else, it's no different than as a child seeing that, hey, the vet, you know, on the farm has
exactly.
got it going on, and all of a sudden you're saying, wait a second, as we call it, the American dream or the lifestyle dream that can be achieved, it's not really there in most trades and most occupations because it's exchanging time for money. And I before you even answer that question, I'm perplexed. The thing that keeps going around and around in my mind, the more people I talk to, that once they cross over into Nikan, they realize that, hey, having more than one practice, having more than one restaurant, having more than one store is not such a good program. What compelled you to go down that road? Is it more exposure to people, or is that just part of the trade?
No, in my case was maybe a little bit unique, but it's not out of the norm for veterinarians to if they have any sort of business mindedness to do exactly what you mentioned, to have multiple locations, because it's a time for money scenario. The only way to increase your revenue is to increase the number of patients that you can see. Now, in my case, that wasn't really the driving force behind it, because they were still all 100% of the cases were seeing me. So it didn't matter if I saw them in one place or in multiple places. It was more a matter of convenience. When I left British Columbia to live in Washington State, when I left British Columbia, there was no one with my credentials in the whole province.
Hmm.
And there were no boarded internists and there were no boarded cardiologists. And so when I left, everybody that I knew up in Vancouver was saying, hey, can you come up and see some cases for us? And the gentleman who introduced me to Nikan originally is now a retired veterinarian from Victoria, British Columbia, and he did the same thing. and so I had people asking if I would come and help them with their specialty caseload. So I did. So I was living in Polesville, Washington, which is a relatively small town, and yet twice a month I would travel to Vancouver, BC, to see cases for a referral clinic up there who had every specialist there is except an internist and a cardiologist. And then in Victoria, it was to do a favor for the friend who introduced me to Nikan. So it was trying to pay back, I think, you know, the people who had helped me in my career by helping them back, and but I was getting pretty burnt out.
So I'm guessing the answer to my previous question then would be that you just said it, getting burnt out, that you...
What?
In the when you see someone like Jack and Karen and see what they've been able to achieve as far as the lifestyle, and then you realize, hey, what I'm doing is not getting me there at all, even slowly, let alone speedily, we're not going in the right direction, because something has to give, something suffers. And we can say, oh, yeah, I'm just so busy, but then there are people like yourself that take busy to a whole new level.
Well, and even on a more pragmatic or practical viewpoint is, after living through that family member's health crisis, I understood that everything that I was doing was built on one single pin, and that was me and my ability to see cases. And if I got sick or injured or just decided to take some time off, the whole empire, if you will, would come crumbling down. I had no other way to earn an income if I wasn't physically in front of patients. And
mm-hmm.
So I built a very tenuous financial stream in having everything coming in through my professional services.
Mm-hmm. And I found it quite fascinating the other evening, just kind of as a Sidebar here, Jeff Van Blarkum, who's also a Royal Diamond Nikon, former tire chair exchanger for Les Schwab, note to self, got to get him on my call here. But he said, you know, in the last year, he had an increase of $60,000 in his business. And he said, honestly, for the last 10 years, I really have not actively built anything more to Nikon. And he said, it's so fascinating. In a time when the rest of our culture is seeing a downturn, I saw an increase, and I did not physically even do anything.
Right.
And thus the power of duplication, because you did not have the opportunity as a vet running three practice to say, hey, let me see if I can find a protege to duplicate what I'm doing. But if you do that, then they go into practice for themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what was that then? Was there a defining moment where you said, okay, this is I got to do this. I got to spend more time doing this. I don't really have much time. But was there a defining moment, or was there a series of events that led you to the saying, hey, this is my future?
I think it's been a continual growth thing for me, and that I'm still, you know, hitting those little pivotal defining moments. Another one just got me in Dallas last fall at the convention. But if I were to look at one time, there was a time where I had been using a lot of the products. I had had my little chat with Jack and Karen, and I was driving. I'd seen cases all day long, and I was driving 2 hours after the end of my day and without having had dinner to go to a veterinary meeting to go to. I volunteered to be on a board of the licensing body in Washington State, and I'm driving from where I live to Fife, Washington, and I'm thinking, I'm still doing this. Like, I'm still doing this 24/7, and the Nikon National Convention was about to come up. The Nikon National Convention was about to come up in Toronto, Canada, and as I'm driving, I just thought, you know what, I've got to go to this thing. And so I called from my car, and I made arrangements to attend the convention. I'd never been to any kind of large Nikon event. The biggest thing I'd been to was a wellness preview. And once that happened, then I thought, well, there's no reason to go to this convention if I'm not, or there's no reason not to be a silver by the time I get to this convention, which was about 6 weeks away.
Sure.
So I put all the pieces in motion to go there silver, and actually we went silver the night of the convention, and I thought it was really nice of Nikon to throw that great big party for us.
Oh, and this would have been back in, I want to say, 97 or so.
Exactly. Oh, good call. It was
I only, you know, have my calendar only works based on the ages of our daughters, you know, so I have to think, okay, how old were they in that year? Okay, that would have been, got it, because I can remember pictures of them. So the convention was the real turning point, so we're talking 13 years ago.
Absolutely. Huge. That was a huge one for me.
And so you come back from that, and what did you do differently in your practice and your life to literally allow this to start to grow?
Well, when we made the choice to go to the convention and to change ranks to go silver at the convention, we started talking to people in a different way and started to look at team building and more of a sort of a business type approach. And so we had, during that window of time, 5 or 6 weeks, whatever it was, we had now started to sponsor people, which we hadn't really done before. And so we sponsored, I think, 5 people, but those 5 people had sponsored some people, and so our little Nikon business in Polesville, Washington, had people in Vancouver and Toronto and New York, and we all met at the convention in Toronto, and there were 18 of us. Mm-hmm. And I started to think, you know, I'm only really the only time I looked at I had a paper based planner back then, and I had jotted out where in my cracks and nooks and crannies in my day can I fit a Nikon, and I had 10 hours a week, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. If all 18 of these people have 10 hours a week, I now have 180 hours a week going into my Nikon business. There aren't 180 hours a week. I couldn't work that much as a veterinarian. And that was when it really hit me, that this whole concept of leverage. There's a time when I understood it intellectually, but there was that point where I owned it, you know, viscerally and emotionally, that this was something that could really make a difference in people's lives.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that's something we always forget, that this is the power of duplication, and that the few hours, whether it's 5, 10, 15, that we can spend introducing people to this gift of Nikon if the people that we introduce do the same thing.
Absolutely.
All of a sudden, and this doesn't work in the veterinary world, I'm guessing?
Not at all. And those people, when we got to New York, they still really didn't know poop from page 12. They were just excited. And they were able to start to build a business based on enthusiasm and heartfeltness. And in fact, the people from New York, they hadn't even gotten their products yet, and the one person had already gone bronze. They were just so excited about the experiences that we were telling them about people were having. And yet in vet medicine, I had to go through all of that schooling before I could start to help people.
Mm-hmm.
These were folks that were spreading the word and enthusiastically helping people right out of the gate, and that was a huge difference as well.
There really is no, what do you call it, being an internist, a time of internist time where you get to experiment, right?
You could try. You can try. And believe me, I've bumped into those mistakes as well. If I think about all the ups and downs of my 13 years, that very beginning time where we were just having fun and enthusiastically sharing a really cool idea with a lot of people, we had, you know, explosive growth and fun, and everyone was enjoying all of those five pillars. But it was when I put my internist cap back on and tried to make this something it wasn't, is when things got slowed down. And so, you know, Dave Johnson really is the sort of the master. There's no accident that Dave is a royal ambassador. Is keeping it fun and keeping it simple, and people are attracted to people having a good time. And people who are, you know, down and depressed because things aren't going as well as they wanted, or it's too structured or too difficult or too whatever, people already have that in their lives. They've already got too much depression and organization and structure and rules and regulations. They want to have fun. They want to come to something where people are excited and having a good time and be in the service of other people. And Bill Gates has a wonderful quote. He says, you know, it's possible to do well and to do good at the same time. And it doesn't have to be one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Rob, I'm curious, what have you seen? Because you have not once in the 27, 28 minutes that we've been discussing and having this conversation, you have not once said to us and the listeners that because of what these products did on this Cocker Spaniel or on this Calico Kitten, it changed my life.
Well, actually, you know, that was part of the process of validating the product for me, because as a medically trained person, I was still thinking that my family member was having a placebo effect.
Mm-hmm.
That she wanted these things, she wanted the mud flap to save her back, and you know, at the time, if you could have put a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on her back and had the same response, that would have been just as weird to me as this magnet was. And so at that same time, I have the kinds of dogs that I have at home personally are Cavalier King Charles Spaniels. And the one, her name was Lady Nell Guinevere. She had actually ruptured a disc in her low back and had spinal surgery to remove this disc. And just a few months, actually, before our introduction to NECAM. And she had other discs in her back that were degenerating, but not to the point of needing surgery. But she would be very painful from these things. And when she would have an episode, she wouldn't be able to walk up the stairs, and you couldn't pick her up without her screaming. And she'd be very low-key and depressed. And we would put her on medications, which would take 5 to 7 days to kind of take care of this problem, and had associated side effects, like a lot of drugs do. And in the middle of one of these episodes, a very classical episode where she wouldn't walk up the stairs, she wouldn't raise her head up, and you couldn't pick her up because she was very painful, instead of giving her medication, we took, and this was before super minis were even around, the original, you know, acoustic mini, the little tiny magnet that Nikan had, we taped one to her chest harness, which was right sort of in between her shoulder blades, which is about the area where her pain center was. And an hour later, after putting that on her, she jumped up on my lap from the floor, wagging her tail, licking my face, and I pushed up and down her back, and she had zero pain mm-hmm. in an hour. And no side effects. We never took that mini off of her harness. She wore it for another 4.5 years and never had another relapse in her back. Now, in my experience up until that point, degenerative disc disease only continues to get worse, not better, as the dogs get older, and she was having an episode every 6 to 8 weeks, and she had wow. no more after that. And
okay.
to me, that was profound.
Now, that's the question, because a profound experience like that, one would kind of, and we've seen this happen, we see it happen all the time, that at that point, what kept you from deciding, again, this is your field of expertise, what kept you from saying, hey, I'm going to go out there and save every animal that I can't seem to find any treatment through traditional Western veterinary skills that I've studied all my life, I'm going to go out there and save them all with these Japanese, how did you describe it at the very beginning here, avant-garde?
Avant-garde Japanese technology.
And I'd ask you how to spell that, but it doesn't matter. But what kept you from literally going out there and trying to save the world with these products?
That's a really great question. This was all, it wasn't sequential. This was all happening all at the same time. And so my heightening awareness as to other ways of life, like through Jack and Karen, and my heightening awareness of the concept of leverage, like the experience that I had building my first little team within NECAN, and the heightening awareness that there was a possibility to have a balanced life. It was all happening at the same time. And so, I guess I wasn't consciously competent that I was realizing these things, but if I look back on it now, I guess at the time I was realizing how powerfully effective these products were, it also made me realize that I didn't need to be a veterinarian. I didn't need to have gone to school all that time to slap one of these things on my dog and see it get better. And so if I only tried to do it myself, one, I would be just doing more of the same thing that I was doing with all my education anyway, putting in way more time for money stuff again. Two, I could only help one patient at a time. And three, even if I decided to leverage it through veterinarians, they're limited in the same way. But what if I created an organization of everybody, of plumbers and moms and pops and airline captains and everybody who then were just leaning over the fence and talking to their neighbor about their dog or cat or mother or brother? That it's the power of the network that's really going to make this thing dynamic. And for me to take it out, as I said, there were things that didn't work. That was one of them. For me to take individual products out of the concept of everything that NECAN has to offer and to just apply them in my practice would help those singular patients, but wouldn't, in a larger scale, at the end of a 20-year career, would be very linear in the numbers of animals and people I could help, as opposed to exponential and crazy numbers that I could help through an organization. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, I do. I still use them in my practice. I use them virtually every day. But that's not the only thing I do. And I can help farm many, many, many times more people through my veterinary practice and even just through a call like this. Mm-hmm. How many people at the end of this are gonna think, hey, maybe I should put this on so-and-so's dog that hadn't occurred to them before? Mm-hmm. And now, me sitting here in my office for 20 minutes on a half an hour on a Saturday morning, there's another ripple effect that's gone out mm-hmm. to people that I won't ever even meet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing is, that's what we often forget, that the power of networking or the power of duplication only exists in the network marketing industry. Mm-hmm. We can take franchising to a level where, well, if you buy a franchise, then you've got that. Then you could go buy a second one, but all of a sudden you've still got the same negative factors with the first one as you will with the second one. The time investment, the financial investment, of which with NECAN we don't have that. So, Rob, I'm curious because I know I'd asked you a question when we were together a few weeks ago in Seattle at that amazing event, and I'll put in a plug for the next one that's coming up on May the 8th. If you know anybody within driving distance of Seattle, because you come up several hours and we come up for several hours, and I wouldn't miss the next one, especially knowing that Anthony Bove will be there, and the whole structure of that event on May 8th in Seattle will be focused around wellness, as far as almost in a classroom setting, because we're doing it at a school. But when we were together then, I had asked you something, and there was a, in that, I always ask these questions, and they're always completely loaded, but my last one is, you're kind of in the transition of literally seeing that, hey, Niken is it, 100%. Because in the last few minutes, you haven't talked about racing across the border anymore, between two practices or three, but it's pretty much evolved to you're living the five pillars.
That's absolutely true. I guess I am. I have, in these last few years, been able to cut my clinical veterinary time down to 4 days a month. Now, I honestly don't know any other practicing veterinarian I've ever met that only practices 4 days a month and can actually make a fairly good living at it. I've also taken up the sport of triathlon, and that's one of the reasons that we're heading out for a three-hour mountain bike ride today as part of our training session. So my wife and I are both riding Ironman Canada later this year. And just the training time that it takes for that is enormous, and wouldn't have had access to that if I were still practicing as a full-time veterinarian. I have a fairly large Niken organization that I spend the rest of my time working with people, and I travel once a month to spend time with my folks in Niken. And in the greater scheme of things, everything now works in a balanced kind of a way that I could never have imagined possible at this age in life. Like, this is something that typically people put off until they're going to retire, and then either they're too old, or they're too set in their ways, or they're too sick, or too something to be able to live the things that they thought they were going to be able to do. And I hate to say this, but my eldest brother is a classic example of that. But by the time he finally had all of his ducks in a row and could retire, he didn't have the physical health to enjoy it. And that's a deception that we bought into somewhere along the lines that that's how it has to be, where it's not true. You can lead a balanced life, and I know that not everybody wants to do something as insane as run an Ironman, but I do believe that everybody has something like that inside of them that they do want to do or achieve or spend their time doing that they don't do because their current lifestyle won't allow it.
And that's exactly the best way I wanted to finish our conversation. It's because you just, ultimately, that's what it boils down to, is that if we understand the power of networking, we understand the power of duplication. As I was reminded this week by one of my mentors, Dave Stoltzis, who said, you know, this is not a people business, it's a duplication business. If we continue to duplicate, and it's something that it doesn't matter, and it's not just the veterinarian world. As a plumber, as an airline pilot, as a school teacher, you can't duplicate any of that to continue to give you more time freedom, and thus more balanced life. It only comes from something like what we've discovered in Niken. So, Rob, or officially Dr. Mason, I want to thank you because I'm looking back at the scribbles I've got on my pad of paper in front of me, and like you said, the ripple effect of what you've shared will be great. And I know there are many, many people. And even before I dialed you this morning, or pushed your number, we don't dial anymore, do we? I was reading an email from a friend who said, hey, is it possible that I could contact him? And I'm going to not blurt out your email address here, but I will selectively give it out to those who I think that you can benefit from, and to allow you to continue to live that balanced life. But I appreciate everything you shared, some great, great nuggets of truth here that I know that are going to empower our people. So I'm going to bid you farewell and sign off here and then let you get onto the bike and get training, because we want you to win.
I appreciate that, and appreciate everyone for time that you're investing in being on these calls and learning more about your craft. And Vance, you're just such a terrific leader in Niken. I've always admired you and Stacy and all the work that you guys do. So thanks for thinking of me and having me on your call.
Hey, enjoy the sunshine, and we look forward to seeing you on May the 8th, I'm sure. For sure, huh?
Thanks very much, Vance.
All right. Talk to you soon, Rob.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thanks. As a reminder, our guest has been Dr. Rob Mason from actually British Columbia. And I want to remind you that if you know somebody that you think would benefit from hearing what he shared, his story, his journey as a full-time veterinarian running three practices, you can go to the website www.canbeforyou.biz/s. And that again is www.can, the letter B, the number 4, the letter U, canbeforyou.biz, B-I-Z, or Z, as they say in Canada, /S. And Steve Crowfoot records these calls and makes it available there. And also want to remind people, one of the names I mentioned, Dave Stoltzis, who is a longtime mentor of mine who has been in the network marketing industry for 40 years now plus, as long as I've been alive. He will be with us next Saturday. And if you're listening to this via recording or live, I want to encourage you, like I've never encouraged you to before, to be on the call, to have pen and paper handy or in front of your computer so you can type notes. Dave has literally spent the last, I don't know how long, but evolving his business into a simple heart system, and that's what he actually is calling it, a program that he's developed. And it's not another system. It's not another program. It's something that literally is complementary to whatever you're doing. Just some simple nuggets of truth that, as I shared with him this week, in the last few months that I have been utilizing it, the word that came to my mind was liberation. And if you're kind of stuck or you're just frustrated because, as Rob said, that, you know, if we try and figure this out, if we go back to being an intern and say we got to do this and, you know, then it's not fun and people are not attracted to that. That's exactly what Dave has liberated my life in the fun element of being able to do this. And the results, we've signed up quite a few people already this year at a rate we've never experienced before. And again, Dave Stoltzis next week will be with us. And then 2 weeks from this morning, the first of the month, Ruth Williams and I will be again focusing in on the issue of body balance, on developing the physical body that we should have, that we are entitled to have as not only wellness consultants, but as living, breathing human beings, that there is this physical body that we should deserve to walk around and enjoy life in. And I want to open that up for testimonies of people. We've asked it before, but I really want to encourage you, if you've developed certain things. We heard from Martha Sue Urey and Sandy Martin and others previously on things that we do, little tricks to really allow our bodies to function at a level that they should function. And I would really encourage, there's people like Dr. Mason who are endeavoring to do an Ironman competition. Maybe that's not for all of us. It's not for me, trust me. But I enjoy, like I did yesterday, getting up on the ski slopes and being able to keep up with a whole van load. There was 12 of us that went up yesterday, and my brother and I and everybody else is, 16 years or younger. How do you keep up the physical body into your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond to allow it to function at its peak? What are some of those tricks and those, tips? So that's what we're going to do in 2 weeks. And I want to solicit everybody's help. If you got a tip, don't be shy and then be ready to jump up on the call when asked and share those. So I want to just again remind everybody, so www.canbeforyou.biz is the website to go to, so check that out, and say thank you to Steve Crowfoot for recording this, and hopefully now this is the point where he will click it off, because I have some announcements for you that I don't want recorded. So, Steve, I'm going to give you a couple seconds to realize, yep, Vance said, please stop the recording.